Hi, everybody, and welcome back here on a Friday for another little bite-sized political podcast. Hope this one finds you well. Hope the sun's shining on you. It's shining here with me. And thanks for downloading this. Thanks to quantumhypno.co.uk for sponsoring this. Don't forget our next big live event, 26th of July. Make it a date in your diary. All will be revealed next week. And you're going to love it. When you get to know our guests, you're going to go, wow, this is the best one he's done yet. So that's to come. But anyway, in a way, this whole podcast channel got its reputation and certainly started in the dark days of the COVID tyranny. And we all came together then, didn't we? And, you know, we've stood together since, certainly against COVID. But I feel that the war against vaccines is broader now. And that's why I guess, you know, we have to cover so much more. There's two things I wanted to talk to you about here. And this one, I want to talk about the HPV hard sell. And I want to talk about the flu vaccine as well, because I saw a headline, first of all, with regard to the flu vaccine for children, which links to a pneumonia risk for their relatives. So get this. And this is from The New Scientist, by the way. Giving children the nasal flu vaccine is linked to more pneumonia-causing bacteria in their noses, which they may then pass on. But immunization is still recommended, says Claire Wilson, 14th May 2024, 3 days ago. So unbelievable. So they're actually saying, yeah, well, if we give these kids the flu vaccine up their nose, then that might cause them to pass on to others who may get pneumonia. But hey, I'm sure we've got a vaccine for pneumonia as well. So what's not to like about that? I mean, in the first instance, no child, in my opinion, should be given the flu vaccine. I think it's absolutely and utterly irrelevant. And, you know, but that doesn't stop these big pharma, absolute fanatics, right? So wee bit of pneumonia, yeah, it's a small price to pay for getting a super duper vaccine. And then, of course, the other thing that I'm sure you can't have missed it, because they have been all over it. And that is this whole business of the HPV vaccine. The BBC ran ahead, BBC News ran a headline the other day. Headline is, HPV vaccine stops 90% of cervical cancer cases. England began vaccinating teenage girls in 2008, and the results shows that it's paying off. Well, are we sure about that? Are we sure that it's paying off, right? So they're saying it's paying off, HPV, it's really good. This is another safe and effective vaccine, and you really want to make sure that all these young girls get it. Okay, so here's what I want to share with you folks. I'm now going to Australia. I'm going to official data from Australia, and the data shows the rate of incidence of cervical cancer, which is a very unpleasant, obviously, problem for any lady to have. And what it shows is a really interesting chart. It shows that from the mid-90s to the mid-noughties, the incidence of cervical cancer dropped quite dramatically, dropped from a number of cases from, you know, over like 1,100 down to about 725, maybe something like that, right? So just keep these numbers in your head. So it dropped then. But then in 2007, it started to rise. And it's risen every year since 2007. Why might that be? Well, here's this interesting fact. Australia was the first country in the world to roll out the HPV vaccine to every female child in 2006. And it used the Gardasil 4, which is the most effective vaccine. Oh, so they rolled out the most safe and effective vaccine, and the levels of cervical cancer have systematically risen every year since then, up to 2017. That's my last data point. So I don't know what's happened in the last few years, but I do know what happened from basically in the 10 years post the rollout to all female children in Australia, the rate went up. But how can that be? How can the rate of the condition that you're being vaccinated against increase post-vaccine. And then the BBC turn around and say, oh, listen, guys, we need to make sure that in the UK, we keep our vaccination rates right up there because these anti-vaxxers are putting out all this misinformation and disinformation. And that may stop some parents allowing their children to be given this life-saving HPV vaccine. But in Australia, and why would it be any different in the UK, cervical cancer rates increased post the launch of the vaccine. Now, is that a one-off? Could there be other reasons? I don't know. But don't you think we should ask some questions? And of course, the BBC aren't asking any questions. They're encouraging every parent to make sure that their female child gets this vaccine, the HPV vaccine, because it's cutting the rates of cancer and it's wonderful. So I would like to see the information, the precise information from the UK. And then, of course, the other thing is, can we even trust the information we get anymore? Remember, the monsters behind the COVID vaccine still like to pretend that they're safe and effective. You know, we heard Penny Morton say that the other day in the Commons. So the truth is that when we do get information regarding what vaccines do, it seems to me that the one thing they don't do is deal with the condition, the alleged condition that they are have been developed to do, which makes me wonder. And here's the crunch question of all, right? If vaccines aren't there to deal with viruses, what are they there for exactly? Thanks for listening.